This is a reading from Bhavanasara Sangraha. And we're here. At least our bodies are parked on the banks of Radhakund. But our hearts and minds may be in Bombay or in our office or in our factory or with our wives or children or any number of places. At least for a few moments, we can try to penetrate the coverings of the material universe and understand what's going on in the Aprakat Leela of Radha and Krishna and their beloved associates. So this is what's happening. It's called Madhyan Leela from 11:36 in the morning until 3:36 in the afternoon, in which Radha and Krishna spend all their time with all the gopis at Radhakund. This seems to be rather intimate interlude in the pastime, so I hope everyone's over 18 years old. But the idea here is that these are transcendental pastimes, and we have to understand that this is reality, and what we're doing is a cheap imitation. There's Nakli and Asli. The original thing, the real thing, is Asli. So this is the real thing. And to become servants of these pastimes and to understand these pastimes, you can understand with the mood of surrender, and you can join these pastimes with the mood of seva. Sharanagati bhava and seva bhava. Sharanagati bhava and seva bhava. These two types of bhavas one must have to penetrate the mystery, to penetrate the mystique or the mystery of Radha and Krishna's conjugal pastimes in Braj Leela. Janma karma chametivyam evam yovati tatvata tyaktvam dehum punar janma naiti mamati surajana. Krishna says in Gita chapter 4 verse 9, Divyagyan yoga chapter, transcendental knowledge, that if we want to penetrate the coverings of the spiritual world, then we have to understand Krishna's guna, transcendental guna and karma, aprakriti guna, aprakrita, aprakriti guna and aprakriti lila. Aprakriti, it's without any prakriti. There's nothing material there. There's no kam, krodh, lobh, moha, matsarya. There's no lust there. There's no anger, envy, nothing there. It's only prem. Prem dam brindavan. Prem lila. Prem purushottam. So, our Mahajans are giving us a glimpse of that spiritual world beyond the pale of this material covering by dint of their pure bhakti. Bhakti vilochanina, bhakti vilochan, the eye of devotion. Premanjana churiti bhakti vilochanina, santaksa deva riyesha vilokayanti, yam shama sundaram achintya gunasurupam, govinda manipurusham tamaham bhajami. Brahmaji, Lord Brahma, he's saying achintya gunasurupam. The guna surupam, the surupam of Krishna, Krishnaji and Radhaji, this is achintya gun. Achintya. That doesn't mean chinta like we think. It also means that also, because chinta means disturbance or problem. And achintya means no. No disturbance. Shanti. But achintya means beyond conception. We can't fathom it. We can't pick it up. We can't perceive it. It seems ordinary. It seems sadharana. Sadharana means ordinary. It seems lokik. It seems lokik, not alokik. It seems like lokik bhav, lokik lila, lokik activities, but it's all alokik, all aprakrit. But our Mahajans are telling us at this time of the day, Krishna's having these pastimes, really having these, really doing these things. Whether we like it or we don't like it. Sometimes we hear about Krishna's pastimes, And people say, oh, what is this? How can God do that? God can't do that. I can do that. I can eat and drink and get drunk and catch this girl and that girl and even pay for one or pay for another. But can God? He's supposed to be beyond reproach. He's supposed to be the origin of morality, and the laws of religion start from him. So, but even they have a phrase here in mundane world, the king is above the law, right? The king can make the law and he can break the law. It's his kingdom. That's why he's the king. He has the power. He has the prabhav, influence. And so God is the king of everything. Supreme king. So he can make the rules and break the rules. And the rules are for us, to regulate us, because we're madmen. We're all mad. We're all puggled. We're all controlled by the modes of nature and the lower ambitions and pushings of the body and senses. Vegams. Indriya vegam, pushing of the senses. Mana vegam, pushing of the mind. Well, God is, he's aptakam. He has no desire to fulfill. Aptakam. And Atmaram, he is Ananda Sarupam. He's Ananda Sarupam. His Sarup is Ananda. Satchit Ananda Vigraha. Ananda Sarupam. What is our Sarup? Our Sarup is full of Kambhav. Kambhav, or full of desire, lust. And is not Ananda. It's Nirananda. Nirananda. There's no Ananda here. But at any rate, these are extraordinary, unbelievable, inconceivable pastimes. But it's often good to take them in small doses. Because something very powerful doesn't have to be big. A bullet is very small. A bullet is very small, but it's very powerful. A piece of dynamite is very small, but it's very powerful. A stick of dynamite can blow up this house easily. It's only this big. Like a big firecracker, big cracker. But inside, instead of gunpowder, is nitroglycerin. And boom, it really, really explodes. So Krishna's pastimes are like rasayana. Rasayana oshadi. Rasayana medicine. Rasa ayana. Ayana means the shelter of, the abode of rasa. The abode of rasa means taste, flavor, essence, life, rapture. Divine rapture, rasa, rasayana. So something that's filled with these things. So rasayana medicine is that very minute amount of mercury is there. Very small mercuric acid. There's mercury there. Mixed in with other herbs in the Ayurveda system. And you take that, it can bring a dead man back to life. Makardwaj. Makardwaj rasayan. And a lug a lug of rasayanas. So Krishna's pastimes, they act like rasayana. We take a little medicine once in a while and it nourishes us. It's like tonic. Spiritual tonic. It's not that every day you take tonic. Every day you take rice, dal, chapati, sabji, some misti, whatever, mitai, and lots of rest, and work, and family, and all the rest. But every once in a while, you feel like a little low or a little down, and then you go to the doctor, and he says, "Oh, you need some tonic. Take some." You go to the homeopathic wallet, and he'll give you some alfalfa juice. Or if you go to the Ayurvedic wallet, he'll give you some rishta, asava or rishta, dasamol rishta or dasamol asava, or loha asava, some tonic. Boost up your liver, boost up your spleen. Give a little fresh start. Little pep in your engine. Supercharge. So for the soul, for the devotee, what is his tonic? His tonic is lila, Gaur lila and Krishna lila. So if we don't take tonic, then sometimes we can get a little sick. We drag on, so much obstacles and so much difficulty. And so this tonic is very nice. We don't take too much, but it has a good effect, very powerful effect. Krishna was wearing ashok flowers over each ear, and he was holding more ashok flowers in his hand to make earrings for Radha when he returned from flower picking. So we generally think that the gopis go out, sakis go out, and they pick flowers and they make mala for Krishna, Vaijayanti mala. Five wild flowers from the forest, interspersed with tulsi manjaris. And then they offer to Krishna or Shamsundar. But actually, that's going on. The gopis are picking flowers for Krishna, no doubt. They do that, and the manjaris also. But the astounding point, or the amazing point, is that God picks flowers for his devotees. Everywhere people understand, and people have practically seen and done, they see that devotees of various Ishtadevs, they go out and pick flowers. Ram Bhaktas, Shiv Bhaktas, I don't know if you call them Bhaktas really, but the term is really meant for Vishnu. Sometimes people say they're Shiv Bhaktas, but it doesn't really apply. Bhakti, there's no bhakti there because bhakti is transcendental. There might be some feelings of devotion, but it's a misnomer to use the word bhakti. Bhakti is a transcendental entity. And then Shiva Puja is all within Triguna. It's Karmakandiya. Because people want something material, so it's Karmakandiya. It's not transcendental. Bhakti is transcendental. It's not of this world. It's not gunic or gunaik. At any rate, so people everywhere, they pick flowers for their god, Ram, Vishnu, Narayan, Shiva. Durga, etc. And we also pick flowers. But do we ever? Have you ever read? Have you ever heard Lord Shiva picking flowers for his bhaktas? Ram picking flowers for his bhaktas? Narayan going out to pick flowers for his bhaktas? This is something extraordinary. This is a vishesh vichara, some amazing, or chamatkar vichara, amazing consideration. So here Krishna, he went out in the kunjas and full bagichas, flower gardens around, surrounding Radhakund and Shyamakund, and he was picking flowers, and naturally, first thing he does, puts one over his ear, or maybe two, whatever he feels like. Then he says, oh, I have to pick some for my beloved. I know she likes these flowers. I have to pick some flowers for Radharani. So God, Radharani is a great devotee. Paramaradhya. She's the worshipper. So she's the greatest devotee because devotees are dedicated to Krishna's pleasure. And she's dedicated the most. She's dedicated everything she has and every moment she has and everything she has. She's dedicated for the pleasure and satisfaction of Krishna. Anya bilashita shunyam jnana karmadhyan amritam anukayena krishnanu shilana bhakti uttama. Hers is uttam maha uttam paramuttam bhakti. The Madanakya Mahabhav, the pure love of Radharani, is inconceivable, unbelievable. So deep, so vast, so broad, so flavorful and tasty and sweet and relishful and variegated. This is her love, her pure prema, gopika prema. So she's the best devotee. Sarvottam, sarvabhakti uttam, topmost of all bhaktas. But, so naturally she picks flowers for Krishna, makes mala. But now God, Krishna is Bhagavan. Krishna is too Bhagavan Swayam. And he's out picking flowers for his devotee. This is the beauty of bhakti, especially in Braj Bhakti. And Vaikuntha Bhakti, Narayan Bhakti, Vishnu Bhakti, you don't find this interplay. You don't find this interplay between the bhaktas and Bhagavan. The prema is somewhat distilled, or rather, diluted. The prema between the bhaktas and Bhagavan and Ayodhya Dham, or Vaikuntha Dham, or Narayan Dham, it's diluted by Gaurava. Gaurava. Gaurava Ras. Gaurava Ras means the mood or the bhav of respect, awe, and reverence, distance, formality. There's not the intimacy and the sweetness of Braj. It's called Vishramba. Vishramba. Vishramba Ras. Intimacy, sweetness, oneness. Vishramba. It's without Shramba. So therefore, in Braj Leela, Krishna happily and joyfully and regularly goes out and picks flowers for his devotees. It's a very, very special thing. We have to understand how special this Gaudiya Vaishnava understanding of Godhead is. This Braj conception, which has really only been introduced to this world through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya and others, they're only bringing people to Vaikuntha, Krishna Bhakti, in Dasya Ras, Shatan Dasya Vas. You ever read about Gopal Narayan? Narayan, baby Narayan? There's no such thing. So this is the Dasya Ras and Shanti Ras of Vaikuntha. But Braja Gokula, it begins with Sakhi Ras. Sakhi Ras Vatsalya Madhurya. So this is the sweetness of Braj. So he's returned from flower picking, and his intention is, I'm picking these flowers, now I'm going to do Shringhar. Shringhar Seva of Radha. I'm going to decorate my beloved. Oh, wait a minute, what are you doing? You're God. You're the Prem Vishai. You're the object. You're the subject, object of Prem. And Radharani, your devotees, are the Prem Ashraya. They're the shelter. They're the subject of Prem. You're the receiver, not the giver. And Krishna says, really? Oh no. Not for me. Radha is the object of my prema. She's a subject, she's a prema vishai for me, and I'm the prema ashraya. You see, on my level, things are different. I want to worship my devotees, and I accept them as these, I want to offer my love to them. And devotees say, well, wait a minute, this is a dichotomy, this is a little bit of a problem, because we want to offer our love to you. You're the object of our love, the subject of our love. So then it becomes competition. No, I want to serve you. No, I want to serve you. No, I want to love you. No, I want to love you. No, please accept my love. No, please accept mine. If everyone's busy accepting, who's giving? Or if everyone's busy giving, who's accepting? So this is Braja Dham. Here, take this. No, I can't take that, but you take this. I made these nice sweets for you. You please take. Oh, that's nice. But I made these for you. You please take. No, you take mine. No, you take mine. And Yoga Maya arranges so somehow everyone takes everything and feels joy in the reciprocation. This is a special place, Brajadham. So following Brinda's eye signal, Krishna eagerly entered the grove near Radhakund. Grove means Kunj, wherein Radha was resting. In other words, Krishna came back with these flowers in his hands, and there's so many kunjas, there's hundreds of kunjas around Radhakund. And he's thinking, well, you know, where is my Swamini? Where is my Priyaji? So then Brinda Devi, who was orchestrating, she's Leela Shakti, she's orchestrating this divine pastime that's gradually unfolding. So she already knows how she's going to move the players. Like a good chess player, when he sits down, he already thinks, oh, I'm going to move. He thinks way beforehand. Oh, he may move his piece over, his pawn over here, and I'll move my pawn over there. And he scopes out the whole thing. So Brinda Devi, she's moving the players. The players are Radha and Krishna and others. So now Brinda Devi, she's indicated with her eye signals. She's indicating Krishna, this kunj, right here. Don't get distracted. Don't wander all over Radha Kunj. You'll spend all day looking for Radharani. There's hundreds of kunjas. You'll get tired and your flowers will get wilted. The flowers are fresh now. They're fragrant. They're soft. They're tender. They're beautiful. They have their shape. Now's the time. Don't hesitate. Don't be late. There. Acha, TK. And one of these Indian things. You know, even up there, they're moving their heads. Indian style. Yes, no, maybe a little more, less, right, left. There's so many 108 head movements. 108 head movement, body language in India. The head, 108 head movements, 64 hand movements. So many hand movements, and you know. So it's really quite an interesting communication here. So then he goes there and he finds that Radharani's resting in that kunj. The swan-like sakis in attendance of Radha immediately fly away upon seeing the mad elephant of Krishna approaching a celestial Ganga named Radha. So this is this is what poets and writers do. They try to make paintings with their poetry to create. But in simple English, Krishna entered and he wanted to be alone with Radharani, and all Radharani's maid servants, they scrammed out of there. They left. So if you say it like that, it's rather boring. Not very interesting. Doesn't create any beauty in the language. The swan like, so here we have in a river, or in a lake like Ganga, Jamuna or whatever, often you see, at least in the old days, and days of yore, you see beautiful swans swimming here and there, gliding along the water and along the waves, bobbing up and down with their long necks. So these very graceful, these very delicate and beautiful and graceful mandris and sakis who were attending Radha, and they were quite peaceful. And now Krishna, he's compared to a Gajapati. He's compared to a Gajendra, Karindra. He's compared to an elephant. He's a mad elephant. He's maddened with desire to sport in the water because he's feeling very hot. The forest sometimes catches on fire. When the forest catches on fire, the elephants feel distressed. So then they run and they run and they find some river or some lake, and then they jump in that lake to cool down the fire of their... Maybe they're even a little bit burning from the forest fire. So Krishna is burning from the forest fire. The Krishna elephant has been trapped in the forest of Radhakund, and he's burning in the fire of desire to meet with Radha and to serve her. Serving is also a kind of fire. When you're very anxious to serve someone, you burn. Burn with anxiety and burn with enthusiasm. Oh, I must do this. I have to do this. I want to do this. I want to do it properly and nicely. So now Krishna is this, and then, so the mandris and sakis, they're the swans bobbing up and down in the Ganga, and the cooling, with the gentle waves and cooling currents, the river is the Ganga, and the Ganga is Radha. Radha Prema Tarangani Swarupini. Radha Thakurani Prema Tarangani Sarupini. The Radharani Sarup is like a river with waves of Prema Tarangani. Tarangani means waves. Tarangani, Prema Tarangani. So this mad elephant is thinking, oh, this looks like an appropriate, this is a very good place for me to cool off. But so he came in a big flurry. The elephant entered very fastly and quickly entered into the Ganga. And all the swans there got scared, because they're naturally timid by nature, and this huge elephant comes, making noise, ah, ah, huge elephant trumpeting, bah, bah, ho, psh, psh, psh. All those swans fly out of there, take shelter of the trees or mountaintops. So that's what he's saying here, that the swan-like sakis in attendance immediately flew away. Of course, gopis don't fly. Everyone knows that gopis don't have wings. It's only a metaphor. Well, they ran out of there, they exited stage right, seeing the mad elephant named called Krishna approaching the celestial Ganga, not the ordinary Ganga. You could say ordinary Ganga, but then it doesn't indicate the transcendental position of Radha. So it says Suraduni Ganga. Suraduni. Suraduni is that Ganga that's flowing in the heavenly planets. There's the celestial Ganga, there's the earthly Ganga, and there's Patal Ganga. Ganga is flowing throughout the universe, from the higher planets to the middle planets to the lower planets. Taltala, Patala, Taltala, Rasatala, Alatala. The seven Niche Grahan. Lower planets, the Ganga is also there, it's called Patal Ganga. Patal Ganga, and then Ganga here is called Alakananda Ganga or Ganga. And then Ganga in the heavenly planets is called Sura. Sura means devas. Suraduni Ganga. So now, this mad elephant, Krishna was driven, was become mad by the forces of Cupid, Kandarpa, Kamadeva. The mad elephant drank the nectarine form of the celestial Ganga with his lotus eyes. So apparently first this elephant came to the bank of the Ganga and simply gazed at the beauty of the Ganga. The beautiful waves, Prema Tarangani, and the beautiful fragrance, the Saurabh. Saurabh Ganda. Ganda. A beautiful fragrance and beautiful shape and color and effulgence. And just admiring the beauty of the Ganga. And this is a special Ganga. Prema Tarangani Ganga. Prema Tarangani Radha Srupini Ganga. And it's a special elephant. It's a blue elephant. Have you seen a blue elephant? Neelahati? You've seen Neelahati? Have you seen pink elephant? Maybe after one bottle of whiskey, you've seen one pink elephant. You go in a bar and they're telling you, hey, I saw a pink elephant. Oh. Acha. How about a blue one? A blue one? No. Well, drink some more. Drink some more and you'll see a blue one. So we must be totally drunk. Because somehow or other, Siddha Krishnadas, he's making us drunk. So drunk that we believe that there's one blue elephant in Radhakund at this time of day, at 2 o'clock. So he's drinking the celestial Ganga with his lotus eyes. Now that's quite an elephant. Elephant with lotus eyes. Padmanayan. Trembling with passion, the elephant used his hands to break apart the moss plants of that river's bodice and the lotus flowers of her undergarments. Haribo. It's a good thing it's told in an analogy. But I think it's not too hard to figure out what's going on. Sleeping Radha considered Krishna's touching her breasts and tugging at her undergarment to be part of her dream. And that's about where we should leave it. We shouldn't even dream of such things. But we should understand that such activities Krishna engages in. It's called love sport. Radha pretended to be displeased and staunchly resisted Krishna's advances, saying, Hari, don't touch me. Actually, they had already consumed some honey wine. It's called madhupan. Madhupan is made from honey, madhu, or shahad, and different flowers or fruits, usually kadamba flowers, called kadambari. Kadambari, madhupan. They take fresh kadamba flowers and they put them in a clay pot with some honey and water, And then they keep it for some time, and the natural fermentation process happens. It becomes a natural, called honey wine, kadamari. And of course, you get mildly intoxicated. So now at this point, Radharani is still suffering from some of that. So she's stuttering, Hari, don't touch me. What do you want? Let me sleep for a while. My eyes are spinning around with intoxication. Radha continued sleeping. She smiled gently, cried, and spoke some unclear syllables while trying to brush away her lover's restless hands. Krishna smiled while watching Radha's skill in deflecting his hands. When Radha suddenly woke up, she saw Shyam doing everything she perceived in her dream. Radha repeatedly opened and closed her eyes. The words and actions of Radha, who was drunk with divine love and honey wine, were the same in sleeping and waking. This is from Govinda Lilamrita. Anyway, this day, and so Radha and Krishna here in Radhakund at this time of day, they're enjoying their intimate pastimes. This is actually going on. And we needn't really read more. It is not the subject matter to be recorded on tapes for the general masses. But it gives you the idea that Krishna is a multifaceted personality. Otherwise, he cannot be called Swayam. Swayam Bhagavan. He is the supreme personality of Godhead. He has unlimited aspects, unlimited bhavas, unlimited features. And they're all of his expressions and actions and activities are simply for the pleasure of his devotees. He is not a enjoyer. He is not an exploiter. He is simply existing and acting and moving by the impulse of love. And love is such a feeling or such a mood or such an attitude that it makes one become absorbed in the pleasure of their dearest one, pleasure of their beloved. So this minor dipping into Krishna's eternal pastimes gives us this, the idea that there's nothing new under the sun. And as long as we want to imitate Krishna's pastimes and be Krishna, or as one godbrother once said, he said, don't try to put your face on Krishna's. It was Radhakund Prabhu who said that. I thought that was pretty interesting. He said, everyone is busy trying to put their face on Krishna's. In other words, Krishna alone, he's the Purusha. Right? Ekale Ishvara Krishna. Ara Sabya Britya. Ishvara means controller, Lord, Master. Prabhu, Mahaprabhu. Ekale Ishvara Krishna. There is only one Ishvara, Krishna. Ara Sabya, Sablog. Sabya, Britya. Britya means dependent. Britya means servant, submissive. So Krishna is the master, the Purush, and all our prakriti, all our servants, all are meant to serve him. So generally people try to put their face on Krishna, saying, oh, Krishna is an enjoyer, so I be Krishna. I will be Krishna, I will enjoy. Krishna has 16,000 girlfriends. Well, at least I can have one or two. So in that way I'm putting my face on Krishna a little bit. I'm trying to take an artificial position. My position is to serve and depend on Krishna, not to falsely think I'm independent and try to compete with Krishna or be the enjoyer. So this is how we can make advancement when we start to understand our actual position, identity. That's why so many places it's always said that one should always reflect on how small and tiny he is and how much dependent he is. And how he's actually meant to serve. The greatest happiness and satisfaction comes from serving. Pavanasara Sangraha Ki Jai, Radha Krishna Nitya Leela Ki Jai.